Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to meet with you once again, and up here in Cleveland, we're having cold weather, but the Lord is still with us, and he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I got a little bit of a bug that has been bugging me, but at least I'm not coughing this morning, and I'll try to do the best I can. But it's good to be back with you as we talk to you, and we are going to give you a chance to call in from wherever you are in the world. And we know that from the hits on the internet that we're getting listeners from almost every place in the world, even places that I hardly have heard of before. And so we're glad that you're with us. God's people are everywhere. But I want to start out today from reading from Isaiah chapter 26. It talks about the future of our planet. It says, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. And God has said to those that have put their faith in Christ that he has given them peace. First of all, it's peace with God. And today the world is generally at enmity against God. They're look at God as an enemy. You hear people in the factory, they'll say, don't talk to me about that. And they're not happy thinking about it because they know of their sins. But Jesus Christ has made peace between us and God, the Father. How is that? Well, he died on the cross. He was punished for every sin that you ever committed. And when you come to him in repentance and faith, willing to turn from your sin, trusting in him as Lord and God and Savior, at that moment, you're forgiven and you'll meet God without any record that you've ever sinned, no matter what you've done. You have peace with God. But also, when that peace comes, the Holy Spirit comes and gives you peace in your soul. Today, many young people are committing suicide because they don't have peace, and many world-famous individuals commit suicide. No peace. They have money, they have popularity, they have fame, but there's something missing in their soul because God has created us for himself. And peace means it means we have a satisfaction of soul. We don't have to have a lot of money. We don't have to have a lot of fame, popularity. We don't have to have a lot of things. But we can have satisfaction in our soul because God puts it there by his blessed Holy Spirit, and Christians have experienced this worldwide. And so it says God has ordained, he has chosen to give you peace when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this chapter particularly, it's talking to Israel, and it says, O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion for over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Now, Israel was taken into Iraq or into Babylon as slaves, and they were lords over them. They ruled them. They were slaves to the Babylonians. They were slaves to the Romans. They were slaves to the Egyptians. But there will be a time when only the Lord will be their leader, and he is a good God, and he is one that will bring joy and peace to their life. And they say they are dead. And I think when I see that, I remember seeing a picture on television of Saddam Hussein, and he was sitting there in some type of a theater, and he was sitting at the desk smoking a cigar and smirking, and the leaders of Iraq were sitting out there in front of him, and his henchman, guy that worked for him, was standing at a microphone, and while Saddam was smirking, they were listing traitors, and that is anybody probably that Saddam thought might possibly oppose him sometime in the future, like dictators do, and they called him a traitor, and the police came in and took him out and shot him. Well, all these individuals, they're dead. And these great dictators that people practically worship sometimes, the Bible says the worms are eating their flesh. They're gone. But the Lord Jesus, he lives on forever. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Then it talks about the Jews being in Babylon, and then they come back to the land. So after they come back to the land under Ezra and Nehemiah, it says Thou hast increased the nation. They were taken off the land of Palestine, but they come back. O Lord, thou hast increased the nation. And so they come back to the land, and they once again multiply when they come back somewhere about 350 or 400 B.C. And then it says, thou art glorified. Well, how is God glorified? Jesus came to this earth, and he was the one that brought glory to the Father. And he was God the Son. And by his miracles, he demonstrated he was God. I read in a book somewhere, well, there's many healers, yes, but nothing like Jesus. And hundreds of thousands of Jewish people saw him raise the dead and heal the sick of all kinds of diseases right in front of their eyes. Nobody questioned it. His worst enemies never denied it. And at his trial, no one brought it up that he didn't do it. Because if they would have, hundreds of thousands of people had seen him do these miracles. And in it, God was glorified. And it says here, thou art glorified. And then after Jesus came and was glorified, and God was glorified through him, and he had died for our sins, and then he bodily rose from the dead, just as he said he'd do, and as the prophets predicted he would do. He bodily rose from the dead, and he stayed on the earth 40 days. They walked with him, talked with him, ate with him, and they knew it was him. And then he left for heaven, but he's coming back again. And then it says, thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Well, Israel was removed to the ends of the earth. And God said when they rejected him, they would be scattered to the ends of the earth. But he had more than one plan there. And that plan was thousands of Jewish people, thousands of Israelis in the first century became believers in Jesus. And they were bilingual. And at the day of Pentecost, they came. And there, they put their faith in Jesus, and they were scattered to the nations, and they were bilingual, and they preached the gospel to the whole world. And you see that at that time, it states in the New Testament, the whole world heard the word of God. How did they hear the word of God? Well, these people preached to them. But the word of God came, and every man heard them in his own language. And after that, God gave the gift of tongues. And so these people preached in other languages, and the Bible was written down in other languages. And so the whole world heard the word of God in the first century by Jewish people living all over the world that were believers in Jesus. God had raised up Israel for the purpose of spreading the knowledge of himself to the world. And even as a nation, though they rejected him, God accomplished his purposes through the nation of Israel, because it was Jewish people like Paul and Peter and James and thousands of others that had spread the word of God to the whole world after that. And so this is prophetic. And the Bible teaches that right before the coming of Jesus Christ, at that time, that there will be 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will go to the whole world, 12,000 from each tribe, and preach that salvation is through the God the Father and through Jesus Christ the Son. And so after this, it says, there will be a great multitude in heaven that no man could even number. So many people will be saved. And this is the time that we are living in. Now it says here, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them, talking about Israel. And this is called the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob left the land, fled from Esau, got wealthy, and then as his neighbors became jealous of him and he was uncomfortable, he went back to the land. Esau came out to wipe him out. And Jacob tried to buy him off, but there wasn't anything he could do. Esau was out to kill him. And so the only thing Jacob could do was pray. And a man showed up. He recognized the man came from God. And Jacob said the man was God. He said, I have seen God face to face. And so at that time, Jacob wrestled with the man. He realized that he couldn't do anything, couldn't buy him off. He's dead. He'd be through. He's going to be wiped out. But the man at that time blessed him. Jacob was called Israel, a prince with God. He was born again as a nation. And so the Bible says in the same way, Israel being scattered to the nations, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for their sins, paid for the sins of the world, and that by faith in him they have eternal life. And then because of anti-Semitic activity, they call it Zionism, almost a cuss word today. But yet they come back to the land, they make Aliyah, and they're back in the land again. And the world once again is turning against them. And behind this is Satan. Because if the Jews could be destroyed, that would prove the Bible is not true and that God is not true. But they cannot be destroyed because there is Jehovah God, Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. He has all power in heaven and earth. You know, God has allowed different groups through time. Excuse me. He has allowed them to get big, but then he pricks their bubble and they collapse. And whatever group gets powerful, God can take them down just like that. And he will. And so Jesus Christ is coming back and they will see him at that time. I'm glad today that Pastor Davis is here and I ask him to say a word. Pastor Block is also here and I have him say something.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and it's good to be with you today. And sure, I know our listeners are praying for you that you get through your cough here and feeling better, but thank you, Lord, to allow you to be with us today. We appreciate that. And, of course, you're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman, and he's been feeling a little under the weather here lately, so appreciate your prayers for him. But also, if you've got a phone call or would like to make a phone call and talk to us today, about some of the things Bruce is talking about, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's a toll-free number, 888-677-9673. Or you can call locally at 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. And like I said, it's good to have Bruce with us today, and I appreciate your prayers for him.
All right, I'm going to try to finish these verses, and then we'll go on with the program. This is wonderful, Isaiah 26:16. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. That will be Israel. And when they had that first war in the Middle East, I noticed in the Jewish papers, they were all praying. And God is going to get the nation to pray because the Battle of Armageddon, as a nation, they will almost come to the end, just like Jacob came to the point where there's nothing else he could do because Esau was going to wipe him out. And the Muslim religion has said in the Quran, Hadith, and on radio and television over and over again, their plan to get rid of them. But God is not going to let this happen. Well, Brother Al, could you read the next few verses?
I'm sorry, I don't have the passage here. I don't have the passage. We'll get this here. I was looking at a different
Talk
passage here.
A little bit.
That's all right. We'll get back to Bruce here in just a minute with his. I don't have the. Can slide that over here. I'll go ahead and keep reading that. We're just trying to reach across the desk here. But all right, he was down here in verse number 16, I believe, and it says, "Lord, in trouble have they." visited thee, and they poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them, like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery and is in pain, and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have as it were brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live together, with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out her dead."
Or ask out the dead. That sounds like the first resurrection and the rapture, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, because what's going to happen, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Not that they're sleeping in the ground like the Seventh-day Adventists teach, but that the bodies are in the ground, that Jesus says when he brings us, the dead in Christ, with him in the clouds, those bodies will be raised, and the earth, just like we saw right there, the earth is going to cast out the dead. As those bodies are going to be raised up, the I've heard people say the cemeteries that look like plowed fields, huh? But it's exciting talking about the resurrection, or I should say the rapture, I guess.
You know, the rapture and resurrection take right place together. Just keep on going. We'll talk about it together. Maybe we can get through this. But this gives the whole order of events. If you wonder, when we talk about the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, and Jesus says, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And it's the whole order of events is right here, and you can see it. Go ahead and read it and comment on it.
All right. And like you said, and even in the New Testament, it talks about as we come near the end, it would be like a woman with her labor pains. And we saw that right there in verse 17, like as a woman with child that draweth near the time. And then, of course, we are talking about the resurrection there in verse 19, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. That's the verse we were reading. Sounds a lot like what the Bible says is going to happen when we get in heaven.
That's right. You know, this can be applied with using all the other scriptures about it to Israel, that the dead as a nation, but the dead men rise, and like you find in Ezekiel, Valley of Dry Bones, and they become a great army, and so they go back to the land and go back. But it can refer also to the rapture, and boy, when we wake up at the rapture, all the dead men will be waking up singing and shouting and praising the Lord. Amen. As we meet with all of our friends and our loved ones. And you can keep on reading. We'll talk about it. You got it there. Okay.
All right. We've got turned over here now. On the same page. That always helps.
Yeah. I'm glad he's here, man. I'll tell you, he's present help in time of trouble.
Well.
And we won't have any more coughing in heaven or any more of that stuff.
Unless you want to, I suppose.
Yes.
I don't know why you'd want to. But anyway, Isaiah chapter 26 here, continuing on in verse number 20, it says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed.
Isn't that wonderful? That's a picture of the rapture. We're hidden in heaven with Jesus.
For a moment, sounds like the indignation passed. Sounds like the tribulation taking place on earth, doesn't it?
Right. It's, 7 years or something? We're in heaven with Jesus, and we're hidden there. And it says chambers. That's bedroom. That's referring to, you know, when a person gets married, they're alone with their wife, and, you know, they're having honeymoon salad. You know what honeymoon salad is? Lettuce alone.
Well, and he says they'll be hidden there for a little moment, 7 years, compared to all of human history is sure just a little moment until the indignation be overpassed, referring to, of course, the time of the tribulation.
And Moses spoke about it.
That's amazing because you got that right there. You know, definitely this is presenting the rapture taking place before the tribulation, isn't it?
Yeah, and Moses talks about the tribulation in the book of Deuteronomy.
Right.
It says, in the latter days when tribulation shall come upon you, if you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me. See, so the tribulation is a time of trouble for Israel so that they'll seek after the Lord.
Right. And then
we're in heaven as come my people. Jesus says, I'll come again, receive you unto myself.
Yeah.
And that's the rapture.
Right. And so here in verse 20, when he said, come, my people, that's God's people being caught up to heaven during the time of the indignation, which would be the tribulation. And then he says this in verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Well, that's what the tribulation is, isn't it? It's not the time of wrath upon the believers. We're not appointed unto wrath, the Bible says.
But he comes out after this. Notice this,
right.
After this time of indignation or tribulation, he comes out of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all of this is found in many other places in the Bible, but not in this order. And that's the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth.
Right, and it says, the earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. And that sounds an awful lot like at the time of the return of Christ. There's a great battle there in Revelation chapter 19 where the armies of the Antichrist are slain and nobody buries them, do they? the birds of the air come to feast upon them.
So, you know, right here you have the whole order of end time prophetic events. You know, you have the time of Jacob's trouble, tribulation for Israel. You have the rapture. You have the first resurrection rapture. That is also called the day of Christ. And then we're in heaven with the Lord. It has that, and then has this Christ coming back to the earth. The whole order is right there in Isaiah 26.
Well, and going into 27, the first verse there, it says, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. And what do we see in Revelation chapter 20? Immediately the devil cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, huh?
That's right.
So I that's a fantastic prophetic scenario there.
Man, I'm telling you, see, I'm glad Brother Davis is here. He just takes right up here, so we got the right guy helping me out here. And, you know, you didn't make your announcement for your church and your radio program.
Well, haven't got to that yet. Okay. But, thank you, Bruce, and I'm glad to be able to help you out and certainly keep praying that you'll get through this coughing and everything and get back to feeling 100%. But, I'm Pastor Al Davis of Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we're located at we meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And we have a program on Friday afternoons from 1:30 till 2, and also Sunday nights from 11 until midnight. And it's a live call-in program where people call in with their questions, and we try our best to answer them from the Word of God. So it's enjoy doing that.
Thank you so much, and I think at this time we'll have Bryn sing for us, and we enjoy her singing, but she has a wonderful voice. And if you call in this number to get these books, and we try to talk about different authors and different books that uphold the Word of God, the Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. It's something we look at. It's not some manuscripts that we've lost that are from 2,000 years ago or something like that, or some Greek department in some school. It's something we can look at. We believe we have it in the King James. When God talks about his word, it all points like a laser right to the King James Bible. The Bible says the word grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Isaiah 40 verse 8. And the other translations come and go because they're not the word of God, but this is the word of God, the King James Bible. And so when you call in, you'll probably talk to Bryn, and I'm going to ask her to have our engineer play her sing a song at this time.
Thank you. Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I've contracted with an advertising billboard company, and the owner has rejected putting up that sign.
This is one of these private billboard signs?
That's
privately
correct.
Owned? Yeah. They have editorial discretion to say they don't want content up or they do want content up. But I'll tell you a great way to respond to this. This happened in Boston. Remember, they were going to change the Christmas tree to a holiday tree, and the storm of protest was huge. You need to get people in your community, David, to back you on this and to work aggressively. Then you may need to tinker with the message to get the kind of broad-based support you want. But that's the way to do it, to put the pressure on the owner of the company that way. But they're a private company. They can decide to do it or not do it. But if you get good general community support, that always helps.
If you have questions regarding law and religious liberties, visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Have you thought lately about your early years as a believer in Jesus Christ? Hi there, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Especially if you have walked with Christ for many years, you may not have thought of those early months or years in a while. Pause and think. Can you recall what drew you to His side? Do you remember the impact of songs sung at conferences? The hunger you had to know more of Him and more of His Word? The tentative steps you took to try Him out in prayer? Perhaps thinking deeply and quietly in reminiscence might return to you that sense of first love you had for the lover of your soul. What a wonderful reason to take a journey of remembering.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
All right, they tell us we have a caller on the line. I believe it's Tim.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Isaiah 26:19, when the dead man shall live together. Isn't that partially fulfilled in Matthew 27:52-53 with Christ? And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent, and the graves which were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept rose. Isn't that like part of a fulfillment to that?
That could just be a beginning of it, you know. It could, but I think the context shows, you know, the Israel comes to a place, they says, we haven't accomplished anything in the earth. We're about ready to be wiped out, you know, no tikkum olam, as they call it, you know, improving the earth. We haven't been able to do anything. And they're at the end of the line. And so they pray to God. And at that point, you know, it's talking about, I think it refers to Israel coming back, you know, and to the land. But it can be applied to Christians too, you know, the rapture and the first resurrection.
Well, thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was going to add, too, with that, you're talking about the resurrection, applying it to the resurrection. Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, and then the graves being opened there in Matthew chapter 27, that would be, in a sense, like first fruits. And then, of course, the main harvest is the rapture. And then you have the end gathering there at later on, but I think they could see some partial fulfillment there, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, we invite you to call in. Do you want to give that number again?
Right.
You're talking to, from what we could see, you're talking to almost every country in the world right now.
And if you want to give Bruce a call here about the things he's talking about here today, The toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Or locally, you can call 216-901-0933. And did you want me to give Gail's number out here as well?
Oh, yes.
All right. And, of course, Gail's daughter, Bryn, was singing just before the break. And you can find out more information. Go to avpublications.com online. That's avpublications.com. And I had the number here. The phone number is 800-435. I'm sorry. That's their credit card orders number. For information, you want 276-251-1734. That's 276-251-1734. And that is avpublications.com. And you can find out more information about Gail's books there.
You know, I thought so we're, since we're talking about that, I was just reading again, which I've read a number of times, a book called In Awe of the Word. And it's just a masterpiece of writing of Scripture. It's biblical. And it also will give you the history of the text behind the King James. And that's one of the reasons 99% of the ancient manuscripts back up the text behind the King James. They say, well, we found new ones. At Oxyrhynchus in Egypt, they found the papyri, and it backs up the King James, one of the latest finds, totally. And so in here, it gives the history. You see, when they put the translation down, when they translated, they had hundreds of these ancient Bibles, and they had the Syriac Peshitta, which backs up the King James. They had the italic text, backs up the King James. They had the Koine Greek text, which backs up the King James, and there's thousands of these manuscripts. The modern versions are less than 1%, and the 1% are called eclectic. That is, they even disagree with each other constantly. Vaticanus and Sinaiticus disagree with each other in 3,000 words in the Gospels. And we are saying we have the Word of God today. James said we can look at the perfect law of liberty, and we can handle the Word of God. I have a King James Bible in my hand where looking at the Word of God, and we're handling it. And I tell you, to me, it's an abomination that these preachers on radio and television are correcting it. And I don't believe they know what they're talking about. And they're making themselves the authority, whether the Word of God. Now, we're not talking about just defining a word. When they say the Greek says, there's dozens of corrupt Greek texts, or the originals saying they don't have the originals, and a better reading is, this is an unfortunate translation, that is abomination. You know, the Bible says divers weights and measurements are an abomination in the sight of God. And in Corinthians, one guy says, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos, but we are to be of Christ, and Christ is connected with his words. And, you know, if you listen to these guys that correct the Bible, then you have to say you're following Pope Johnny or Pope Jimmy or Pope Kenny. These are guys that correct the Bible. And what are they doing? They become the authority. They become the authority. And the Bible says, in thy word do I trust. The Holy Spirit of God, Jesus said, he will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever, and he's going to be with the Christian. And that's why every generation, the King James comes back, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and he's alive and well today. People get saved by it. But the Holy Spirit in the Word of God bears witness to the true text all through the ages. And that's why with all the attack on it, on the Bible through radio, television, in schools, and so on. And by the way, some of these schools, they teach people to correct the Bible. They're not supposed to do that. The Bible ought to correct us. They should teach people to preach the Word of God. Brother Al, your turn.
Yeah, I want to mention, Bruce, that we have a caller that called in and has a question. They want to know what would be a safe dictionary or concordance to use with the King James Bible, because you know there's some problems with some of the dictionaries and such. What would be a safe one if you were going to recommend something to somebody for study purposes?
Well, I would say to start with Webster's Dictionary, to start with.
That would be the original Webster's, right? The 18.
Yes. Yeah, if you could get a hold of that. But finally, the Bible is self-defining, and the Bible says that the spiritual man compares spiritual things with spiritual. And so you just look at how that word is used in other places in the Bible, and that's how you define it. And if you really do a study on the Bible, you can get a concordance, or even they have it on computers now. I have a friend that he can just press type in a word, and they'll show every verse in the whole Bible be typed out. That verse will be typed out, even verses before and after, how it's used. But that's the way. I will say this, that the lexicons are an abomination. They'll have some truth in them. You know, I was thinking, it says, they that received not the love of the truth, God sent them a strong delusion. Mr. Strong, that a lot of people have, he was on a committee that said that the worship of Jesus given to the blind man in the ASV, there's a note there, it says the worship given to Jesus is the worship given to the creature and not the creator. Mr. Strong was on that committee. He may have some truth in there, but you can't trust him. And that's why I say here, Gail Riplinger has a masterpiece called Hazardous Materials, The Voice of Stranger, and the whole Greek departments in even fundamental schools are just filled with the teachings and corruptions that are out there, and she documents it. She quotes what they say, and I tell you, every preacher ought to have that book, or every Bible believer ought to have that book called Hazardous Materials is written by Gail Riplinger. Could you give her phone number again?
I'll give the phone number. Plus, also, I was going to recommend for a book on understanding some of the more difficult words, too. Chick Publications puts out one, and it's a strong defense of the King James Bible, but it's called the King James Bible Companion, and Chick Publication puts that out. The reason I was familiar with that one is I have one of those Bible programs that you were talking about. I use Sword Searcher, and they have that included in there. It's by, I don't know if you're familiar with David W. Daniels.
I've read his stuff, very good.
Yeah, and he has this booklet that he puts out called the King James Bible Companion. You can find it online, a lot of listeners are familiar with Chick Publications. They publish it. It's not a very big book, and what it does is it takes some of the difficult words like, what's a milch kine? Well, yeah, it's a milk cow. That's what it is. And but you can find some of those in there, and that might be a help to our caller as well, the King James Bible Companion by David W. Daniels. And let's see here. We have the phone number again for Gail Riplinger at 276-251-1734 or avpublications.com. And I didn't mention earlier your website for the radio program here, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. Has links to some of these things, Gail Riplinger's, as well as Douglas Stauffer at BibleDoug.com. Both of them have some excellent materials that our caller could go to.
Preacher, I sure thank you for doing that too, setting up keeping our website going. And I just thank God for all the people that are listening. You can't get this information in your regular Christian bookstore because they put out all these new Bibles, the Bible of the Year. And they're influenced by Gnostics. They may not be Gnostics now, but it's a lot of man-made theories that are not true. And based on less than 1% of the evidence is overwhelming. 99%, over 99% of the ancient church fathers and manuscripts for the King James. And it's called the Received Text. It's copied in Bible-believing churches. You say, for instance, 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, God was manifest in the flesh in the King James, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, received on in the world, believed on in the world, received up into glory. A strong verse for Jesus Christ being God. And yet in the modern ones, he who? Well, why did they reject the evidence? The fact of the matter is there's strangers, unsaved people that are involved in this. And for instance, Thayer, and Kenneth Weiss used a lot of Thayer stuff. And Thayer was a Unitarian. He talked against Christianity. He didn't believe Jesus is God. and it's on record what he believed. Metzger, another individual, he didn't believe that the originals were perfect, that they talk about all the time. So what we're doing, we're doing what the Lord said. We're contending for the faith. You know, I don't know how many of the Lord years the Lord's going to give me now, but I don't want to get a DD degree from the Lord, because he said, my shepherds are all dumb dogs. They refuse to bark. Maybe this program is a barking program, but we have a very positive program. That is, we have the Word of God. All the scripture verses that point to what the Word of God is point directly to the King James Bible. We believe that it is the perfect Word of God. We have it today. The NIV has sold 220,000 copies. The King James has now been printed in over 5 billion copies, and the Holy Spirit gives witness to it. Brother Al, I'll give it back to you.
All right, and you were actually wanting some little thing of science here today as well, and I had something that I was going to share here, and I just try to put it maybe a little easier to understand terms, but in Psalm 139, the Bible has something that, you know, it took science in the 20th century to discover. People couldn't figure this out. But God says in Psalm 139 and in verse number 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. And that phrase right there, where it says that in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them, that's something that science didn't discover until the 20th century. And that's called the DNA that's inside of every cell in our body that makes it possible for us to develop and to have black hair or blonde hair or red hair or green eyes or blue eyes, or whether you can roll your tongue in a circle or not, whether you have a tongue. All of that is in your DNA. That's the book that was written that God has before our body forms. At the moment of conception, there's a book that comes together that's written in your DNA, and DNA gives us the genes which describe, that's sort of the plans on how your body is put together. And for many years, people thought, when I was in college, we were taught that a lot of the DNA was junk DNA left over from the failed pathways of evolution. And now virtually all of that so-called junk DNA is found to be very important, because in addition to the genes, there's also other portions on the DNA that regulate how the genes are operated. And now they've got something else that's entirely new. See, the genes and the rest of the DNA, that's the books and stuff that if you go into the library and you look at the book, that would be the book. But they have what they call epigenes now. And this is not the DNA. This is something outside of the DNA that basically tells the cell how to read the DNA, which way to go forward or backward, what part to read, when to read it, when not to read it. And so that's kind of like the librarian in there, giving you the instructions of, remember, if you remember the old card catalog, how to use the card catalog so you could go find the book that you want so that you can read what you want. And all of that's inside of your cell, each and every cell. And we didn't know that, but the Bible has it right here. We were curiously made. The Bible says that our substance, when it was unperfect, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Not only that, even the librarian to tell how to read which book at what time is there. It's just amazing. And that's science in the Bible. And I know we got about 5 minutes left in the program, Bruce. We might have a caller calling in. Do you feel up to another call yet?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we'll give just a moment. We have another caller calling in. And again, remind you, you can go to the website for Bruce's program at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and hopefully you can find out some more information. Bruce, we have Nancy calling in.
Nancy, you're on the air.
Brother Bruce, for taking my call. Really enjoying your program, as usual. And I just wanted to ask a question about 1 Corinthians 3:12, and there's probably other references in the Bible to this. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. What I wanted to know was, at church, our pastor, Pastor Andy, and other pastors, they, you know, routinely ask if anybody has a praise report or a prayer request, and this is always the first half of our Bible study. And what I wanted to know was, it just seems like I do love witnessing to lost people, or just witnessing in general, you know, and then finding out if they're lost, then I proceed if they'll let me. Then when you go relay this to, publicly at Bible study, I'm just wondering, is that like sort of like bragging, wood, hay, and stubble, like you're trying to get the praise of men instead of God? I mean, you're sort of like, they say that you're supposed to go pray in your prayer closet. Nobody can hear you. And I just wanted to know, when you go before the Lord, is this going to be considered wood, hay, and stubble, something that can be burned up? Maybe if you can explain that, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I don't know the person's heart or motive, so I can't comment on that. But the wood, the foundation is Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
And he's connected with his word. The Bible says on salvation, they that gladly received the word, you know, we're baptized and added unto them. And so Christ and his word is the foundation, and any other foundation besides Jesus Christ is wood, hay, and stubble. I mean, it is. And today, when people don't go by the Bible, all the preaching, it goes on. It may sound good. The guy might have a good personality and all that stuff, but it, when it comes to eternity, it won't amount to anything unless it's based on the Word of God, and that's the wood, hay, and stubble that it really is talking about. It's just
okay.
It's just talking about.
They're talking about incorrect preaching. Okay,
yeah.
I thought it was something that we would present to the Lord. You know, like, you know, they say you present all your good works to get crowns, but
yeah.
I'm just thinking that might be something that be burned up.
Because so he's talking about the foundation.
They're talking about preaching. They're talking about preaching.
Yeah.
The preachers can.
He's talking about
the
foundation being Jesus Christ. See, so if you base it on any other foundation, and Christ and his words are so closely connected that you can't separate them, just as Christ came.
Oh, absolutely.
Bodily, his words are here today. And that's what the program is about. You have an army of people who talk like the Bible is the Word of God, but they don't believe they really have it. Or if they really have it, how can they correct it?
Mm-hmm.
But
amen.
We're saying we have it today, and it's perfect, and it's true, and it's found in the King James Bible. And so we base it. And that's the problem with preachers preaching all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Absolutely.
In our foundation, Jesus Christ came. He was God. He died for our sins. He bodily rose from the dead, went back to heaven, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We repent of our sin. We're willing to turn from sin. We invite him to come into our life in a simple prayer, and we have eternal life. Jesus said, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out."
Amen.
And Jesus says, "I've lost none of them. Millions have come to him, but I've lost none of them." And so we are rejoicing today all over the world. People are listening to this, and we're rejoicing together, and we're getting ready to meet Jesus Christ in the rapture. God bless you. Thank you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
The preceding program